handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
From Gulfstream Park, a very good Wednesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. And I suppose I should have said, from Gulfstream Park by the skin of our teeth, because this was a little bit of a high wire act, more so than usual, getting set. I think I made a couple of tactical errors with the trip down here. And I haven't talked to Casey yet, other than I guess they're going to come right into the horseman's lounge with the leaf blower. The last time I came, not the last time, because I was here when? When was I here? I was here for something and did a couple of days, and I can't remember I don't even remember when, but the last time for an extended stay, 10 days or whatever, I stayed up in Pompano, and a really cute little place. It's called Pelican by the Sea. It's an adorable little, efficiency kind of apartment-y, easy walk right to the beach. And I thought, all right, let me go back there. Except the one thing I forgot was we were doing the show from the studio, a good portion of that, other than the days I came here. And so instead, I'm up in Pompano, Adam here, Adam Collinays, and I asked him, I said, do you want to say hello? No. Yes? Come, look at you. You're my hero. Come here for a minute. And first and foremost, how's your mom?
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
It's been a month now. We're getting along.
Wow.
The outpour of the fans and the horsemen have been tremendous.
As you would have expected. How could it not be? I mean, it's, I asked you when I came in, we're in the horseman's lounge and Adam's photo office right here. And, asked about Howie Tesher and your dad, basically their careers overlapped. I mean, Howie was 90, your father?
Was 88.
88. So, I mean,
I'm sure my father knew him well. I didn't know him well at all, really, towards maybe the end of his career. Just taking photos of him in the winner's circle.
Well, and, that's part of what, we discussed on Monday. And it's tough, Adam, to see a generation. In a lot of ways, it's our greatest generation. The way they talk about the World War II veterans, this is sort of ours. And I don't know. There's characters around the game, but I don't know. It's just a different. It's a different kind of character, or the color and the personalities are tough to recreate.
It's still a great. It's a great environment. We're all like family. I mean, everybody, and that's what it is. Everybody's very close to one another and respects one another.
How much time do you, you spend most of the meet, or do you go back and forth?
I'm here for every big weekend.
Right.
But I do go back and forth regularly for the championship meet.
This event, it sort of morphed and changed a little bit, Pegasus, and you should see the preparations going on around here.
Huge. This is just like it's like the Belmont Stakes Traverse Day in Saratoga.
You've seen as many big days, obviously, Adam, as anybody, and were you doing the photos before the building the switchover? No.
In 2008 was my first year.
Okay, so
Big Brown's Florida Derby was the first time.
Okay. Things have changed here on a going basis, and the experimentation and the different kinds of, we're going to talk to Billy Badgett later.
The entertainment is tremendous.
Yeah.
There. Tremendous. I mean, it's unbelievable. Pegasus Day, everybody's decked out. hats galore. I mean, celebrities show up. I mean, the entertainment alone is unbelievable. When I leave here, when I'm done editing pictures, come 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, I mean, they're still pouring in here to see the concert.
Cool. I haven't even looked at the lineup and all that part. It's enough to look at the 13 race card. It's enough to get past that. So we'll look forward to it.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, and then of course next week, this is, and there's plenty of good stake action. In fact, we have to start going over a little bit of these cards. Next week we got Holy Bull, and so the march to the Florida Derby gets going.
Yep, and then we got the Fountain of Youth a month later, and we're going to see the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner.
And talk about Forte and getting his season going, and of course horses will emerge. I mean, it's just a natural as the 2-year-olds turn 3. Anybody that you've seen so far, any of the early 3-year-olds, some of these maiden winners that impressed you?
I do like Forte. Just watching him win the hopeful. I mean,
well, that's because when Rapoli wins the Viola, you get
50 people on a picture.
Exactly, you got 100 photos to sell.
Of course.
I love it. Well, I wanted to say hello and give you a chance to visit, and of course, you know. Flying down yesterday, we were stuck on a runway for God knows how long, and I had a million photographs on my home screen, and I started to kind of edit them and put some in the trash, and I had all the ones I came across, all the ones I when I put up your dad, and that picture I took of him is as great of to me a picture of him in the Saratoga office. And I couldn't. I kept them right here. I couldn't take them down. They're right here. And that one, the one of the three great geldings.
Yep.
Right. And you know, we didn't discuss this, but it was crazy how 2 days before his passing, that photograph turns up from the finish line camera with the seagull in it, with the pigeon in it.
When he won the first Eclipse Award.
But not his picture.
But a similar picture.
It was a little eerie.
Yeah.
That turned up, and then 48, and because I don't think a lot of people had seen, I mean, everybody had seen the Secretariat picture, but I don't think a lot of people had seen that other Eclipse Award.
No, that was early on when the photography category was implemented in Eclipse Award. It was just getting started then. I'm not sure exactly what year that started, but I know that was really early on.
I'll put that back up again for people that might have missed it.
We nicknamed it Bird on the Wire.
Bird on the Wire, exactly.
Yeah.
And then this other thing that turned up was nearly identical. It was crazy. Well, we always remind anything that you from history. And have you did this situation get you to start digging through some files?
I've come up with a lot of old pictures of my father and some imagery that he shot, and I'm going to carry it around with me in Saratoga this year. If anybody wants to come by the booth and in the office to see some real historical photos back in the 50s, and yeah.
Well, we talked about the family and the generations that essentially have been taking pictures in New York for 75 years.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Given the internet, the opportunity to get them out there and let Barbara Livingston's got those Rafferty files, and in fact, she put up a terrific Rafferty picture of Howie Tesher the other day. But I mean, you've got this expansive
the piles and piles of personality negatives, just people alone. I mean, it's just endless.
Is it all digitized, or are you going to digitize it?
We slowly digitize them when the opportunity arises. We start scanning them. But it's an endless amount of negatives we have. The champion photos, we started scanning more now, But, I mean, this winter we've been doing a lot of Dr. Fager negatives, a lot of Kelso. Whenever we have an opportunity, I can go through the negatives and see what's worthy of scanning and turning into digital, I do.
Well, I talk about this all the time, and especially when I go to Baltimore and I've got those Jerry Fruitcoff files that I just am fascinated by.
Yep.
And they've got, you know, they've got two tall cabinets, one giant wide cabinet. And, I mean, there's literally, I don't know, 50,000, 100,000 photos. It's scary, actually.
Yep.
And then there's actually a cabinet with glass negatives.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about Sir Barton. And then they say that there's over at Laurel, apparently, the same thing. And the Pons family, Josh Pons, has got a huge collection.
A lot of my father's uncle's negatives were donated to the Keeneland Library.
Keeneland Library, yep.
So they have a lot.
Well, there should be a comprehensive, way for people to, to view it. You know what I look for all the time, and I used to have it. Some of the PEB drawings.
Yes. Yep.
And there's somewhere online there is a collection, and you can search them, but I couldn't find the one I was looking for of Howie the other day. I mean,
we scanned a couple the other day. We found a few. And the grade one winner, I think my assistant scanned the other day.
From down here or from?
No, from New York. It was, let's see if I can find it.
Cool. Because, we talked about a bunch of them that, Influent.
Yeah.
Man of War. In the Man of War.
Yep, at Belmont.
And you got one of Howie next, right? I think I saw
a headshot of him in Saratoga.
Oh, that's tremendous. Oh, that's a fabulous. These are fabulous. That's fabulous. Oh, my God. See, Oh, my God. If you don't mind sending me info, it's so funny. And you know what we're going to do with you? In fact, you're going to be the sponsor.
I'll send them to you. Sure. Well,
Naira photo, Bob Coglini's photo, is going to be, you'll be the Horse That Time Forgot title sponsor.
I look forward to it.
Because this is perfect. I mean, Influent was a horse. This concept, the horses that time forgot, that were tremendous,
yep,
that won a bunch, that nobody has a clue about.
What year was that? I'm
93? 94? Maybe even a little bit later.
If Aaron is listening to this broadcast, I'm sure he knows.
Well, and I just missed. I would have loved to have come down yesterday to be here for the funeral, but I literally was sitting on runways. I mean, yesterday was, and then no internet from Baltimore to here, which I had work to do. I was expecting to get some work done. Anyway, Adam. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
We will. We're really not that. Once we get, it's February next week, and
times. Yeah,
March, April. We'll be back home in 3 months, yeah. And Saratoga in five and a half.
We got the Holy Bull next weekend, and then we got the Withers next weekend,
yep,
in New York.
It's rolling.
Yep.
Adam Coglini's everybody, and it's good to see you.
My pleasure. Good seeing you, Steve.
I didn't even think that about the photo office right next door. Used to go through the back hallway.
Yeah, we were in the. We moved over here.
We used to be in a little closet, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
we
got a nice office.
Adam,
right,
thank you,
guys,
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. He's tough, but maybe although that breaks the ice, you're easier than your dad because I could never get Bob to come on. He was the toughest, absolutely the toughest. Well, there we go. All right, so we got our first opportunity to just to yap a little bit with the local. I mentioned that we're going to see Billy Badgett in a little bit. Billy will swing by, and looking forward to catching up with him. I haven't. It's pretty funny. I literally walked in, and 2 seconds later, there was Billy. So he's going to join us. And and speaking of which, there you go. Look at it's unbelievable, Aaron. Thank you. You pulled it off. Aaron sent that PEB of Howie, and he basically PEB sketched virtually everybody. And maybe it is, you know what, maybe it's at, maybe if it is at the Keeneland Library that I last, you know, saw it and went there. But, you know, virtually dozens and dozens and dozens of trainers from the last, you know, 60 years. And they're just great, the caricatures. So I should, I'm going to go, I searched a little bit and I could not come up with it. And, you know, plus you save stuff on one computer and then, you switch over to another, and you know, next thing you know, it stuff you thought you had, you don't have anymore. I mentioned, the card and, the fields. We're going to have to start digging in. And of course, as mentioned yesterday, not just the action here, but, the Southwest and the King Cotton and the Martha Washington at over at, Oaklawn on Saturday and, situation in Houston, Sam Houston, the racing is going to be terrific. Only a certain number of people are going to be able to take part from a betting standpoint, sadly, but doesn't make the racing any less compelling and less important to pay attention to. So we're going to do that as well. I think Vic, I think, is joining us tomorrow. Vic Stalford, a handicap, and we'll spend all of Friday dedicated to this giant extravaganza. We've got a couple of different things to mention before we reach out for Dick Powell and Sid, of course, top of hour three. Going to see Sid. Sid's on his way here for the weekend, and I don't know if he wants if he'll get a chance to discuss it, but or if anybody wants to hear it discussed, but Chuck Fipke had a health scare, and he's okay, but he can't come. So Sid standing in for Mr. Fipke, who, of course, has got the big mare in what is going to be her final career start. Lady Spite Spear coming off the good third in the Filly and Mare Turf in the Breeders' Cup. And she's going to contest against the boys. And I asked, Sid will probably discuss it, actually. I don't have to hear it from me. But I said, why, you know, why the boys race, the, you know, and it's Mr. Fipke. Why would you not go ahead and take the shot in the grade one? And you know what? I haven't done the hard work yet, but she's, you know, she runs back to that race. She runs back to that race in the Breeders' Cup, and she's very competitive, right? Just at a glance, I really have not looked at that race with much, you know, serious intent in terms of pace and such. But I don't know why she's outlandish, right? The inside information, the fillies and mares going 7/8 to get that obligatory coming out of the Breeders' Cup. And we're really in the teeth of that, right? In the returnees, anybody that had been off for any period of time. We should, before we get serious about that, got to also take a glance. I had got a lot of details, but because I really, again, I said, like I said to Adam, coming down, had no ability to, you know, to do any work, which kind of annoyed me, to be honest. It was so I'll tell you what happened yesterday that was completely strange. In all the years I've traveled, it's one of those just little funny asides, really. Albany to Baltimore, Southwest. Albany to Baltimore. And then Baltimore, Fort Lauderdale. So I'm looking at the waiting to get off the plane in Baltimore. And I'm looking at the, you know, at the, whatever, the boarding pass. And I was curious. I said, well, let me see what gate in case I have to run around. Because we were late getting out of Albany. And I knew there wasn't a ton of time to the next flight. So I look, and it says B10. I said, okay. And I thought, oh, if I have to go up on the, you know, up on the mezzanine in Baltimore, grab something quick to eat, too, because, you know, it's a 2.5-hour flight, and I hadn't. So I get off the plane, and I look up, and we're at B10. We're at B10 already. So I different flight number. I go to the counter and I said, "What's going on here?" I said, "I just got off the flight from Albany." I said, "Now I'm going on to Fort Lauderdale." And they said, "Oh yeah, that was the termination, and this is the origination of the next." I've never in my entire professional life of traveling have never had that happen, ever. Got off a plane and then have to reboard the same plane. It was the craziest thing. I've sat at the same gate and that plane goes off somewhere else and then the next flight from that's happened. But never. And then I thought, well, oh, it must be a new crew. Wasn't a new crew. So it was bizarre. But then it only got more bizarre because suddenly the Wi-Fi wouldn't work, and I was doing work on the way down from Albany to Baltimore, and now we're going on. I said, "What happened to you? Oh, it's not working." He said, "What do you mean it's not working? It was working an hour ago." what are you talking about? And so I ended up couldn't do anything. I had a bunch of things I wanted to get done anyway. So and one of them was, you know, take a look at the results from the sale. And good day. In fact, I heard from our friend Richard Kent at Kazin Sales. And Richard was very upbeat about how things went yesterday. So strong first day. And we'll get some of the specifics when we talk to Sid, actually. But Tappet, the numbers, what's interesting is it wasn't necessarily a day where there were, you know, huge prices. But the assortment, the way, as it happens, that Tommy Ventura laid out, it was strong. And Mark Cassie taking a pretty hip 42, good-looking Tappet colt. For $225,000 was the top number. Interesting. And outbid, I'm just looking at Jessica Martini's summary, and David Canizzo was bidding against Cassie. Canizzo has the older brother that he was going after. So... all right, we'll get some more of those details from the sale when we talk to Sid. And I'm looking forward to seeing Sid. We're going to have some fun. In fact, I'm going to see Sid a couple different times on this trip because we'll be in Tampa in 2 weeks as well. So going to get Dick Powell in here and get going, arcing toward the bottom of the hour, actually. I've been yapping. Nice start to the day with Adam. So, Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Sounds like you had quite the day.
You've traveled extensively. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Right?
No, I've stayed on the plane.
Sure, of course.
And then I remember once they let us off the plane.
Yes, yes.
Which is kind of unusual for security reasons, but no, never And then like it's a brand new plane, so the Wi-Fi doesn't work.
Well, the craziest thing ever. come on. How the hell happened here? Well, in the time we were sitting, and then I tell you, I love being hustled on planes. And then get out onto the tarmac and have them say, we're in the ebb flow or whatever the hell they call it now. And our flow window is like a new term that they've made up in recent months to then sit on the runway for 25 minutes.
But did you look at JetBlue? Did JetBlue have anything?
I didn't notice. I never fly. I think I literally have flown them once in my entire life.
But they fly nonstop Albany to Fort Lauderdale.
Oof. Well, I should be looking at that then. I'm so automatic with Southwest. I just book everything, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, I'm the same. And then the problem with Southwest is we go in and out of Tampa, and there's a nonstop on Saturday, sometimes Sunday. There used to be one or two a day, not anymore. So you're always going through Baltimore. And then Allegiant goes to Clearwater Friday and Monday, but it gets in pretty late on Friday. So it's kind of tough if I need someone to pick me up or whatever. But I try to look for nonstops because you don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop anywhere these days. it's a formula for disaster.
It could be sunny and beautiful in Baltimore, and it's snowing in Denver, and the dominoes start to fall.
It's true. It's true. I don't mind. I do not get flummoxed traveling delays and whatever. I mean, there was also a time when. You know, when they used to beg you to get off a plane, they throw the kitchen sink at you. Here's a $1,000 voucher.
Yes.
Here's a suite at the Waldorf. here's dinner at Peter Luger. here's a white car to take you around. Because one time we were going. Where were we going? My God, I want to say we were going. We were coming from Hawaii, and we were stopping in San Francisco, and they were desperate. I mean, they were desperate, and I got a girlfriend and I got. I mean, a lot of money. Travel. Yep. It was on American, and they gave us like a $1,000 travel voucher. And we stayed a night in San Francisco, which is fine by me. No arguments. Right to the Tadich Grill. And thank you very much. I love it. Well, Dick, Chinese New Year celebration, I got to see a little of it. And obviously always a huge night and day in Sha Tin. That we previewed the other day, and should also, of course, extend sympathies the situation in California, but the one in Monterey Park in particular, that because that's an area I travel through a lot when we're on the West Coast, Alhambra and that whole region, but. At Sha Tin, it was certainly a festive and happy session.
Well, and they ran 11 races, and they bet. The numbers were extraordinary. Now, it makes sense, obviously, big night, and then there are people, I don't know what the crowd limit was, but, they're allowing people back on, so... they bet over 2 billion Hong Kong dollars. If you're ever betting Hong Kong, especially next week in the morning, look at the pool sizes because, if you're betting on Naira bets, you're looking at pool sizes and then you look at the, race 8, pool size, $5 million. just the wind pool alone. So the other night it was $7 million in the last race, and just enormous betting. And then they're all getting ready for Sunday morning, Saturday night, first leg of the Hong Kong Triple Crown, the Stewards Cup, which has three of the top turf horses in the world. And I just think it's going to be fabulous. And unlike the other races, I'm going with Romantic Warrior. As much as I like California Spangle, and I've been on his bandwagon since he won his first race, but I don't see how he can withstand two challenges in the stretch. He'll have the lead. He might set a slow pace because it's a small field, but Golden 60 is going to come after him, and Romantic Warrior is going to come after him. And I think even though it's a mile race, I think that last half mile is going to benefit Romantic Warrior, whose best distance seems to be a mile and a quarter. And I think shortening up is going to do him a lot. I mean, he's only been beat once. I mean, he's a spectacular horse. But I'm looking for Romantic Warrior to win. And I can't say the upset because I don't know where the money's going to go. The Golden 60 will probably be the favorite, but California Spangle beat him in the Longines race in December. So we'll see where the betting money goes. And I would not be surprised if Romantic Warrior is the favorite because you are dealing with some sharp people in that pool. But those three are in. Russian Emperor's also in. Waikiku, who's won the race before, he's in. So it's a field of seven. And then also big field for the first leg of the Hong Kong series for four-year-olds. The Classic Mile will also be run that night. And that will have a full gate of 14 four-year-olds. And pretty wide discrepancy between the top-rated horses and the next-rated horses. So it's a tough race to handicap because in the beginning you say, well, these top horses just have a huge class edge, and they do. But it hasn't always worked that way when they actually run the race. So last year we saw a Romantic Warrior run down California Spangle in that race, and California Spangle got his revenge the next time out at a mile and eighth. This year you got a bunch of four-year-olds. I haven't been household names. They've been kind of very low on the radar, but their trainers have obviously been pointing for the series because it's pretty lucrative. So got both of those races Saturday night, Sunday morning from Sha Tin.
Excellent. And we had talked about tomorrow, but the way this worked out, better to have you.
Yeah, they draw their cards. They never waver, which in a lot of ways I like. So even though it's a big race and this and that and blah, 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 they draw their cards Thursday morning. End of story. And part of it is they almost always race on Wednesday night. So they want to get Wednesday night out of the way, and then they draw Thursday morning our time. So they kind of stick to that even though they race Tuesday. And it'll be a phenomenal night of racing because, I'm not saying sit and watch the stake race and then bet the others, but the other races are going to be just really, really strong and deep and all that. So what do you expect from Hong Kong racing? The other day, eight races from Happy Valley, every stall filled, 12 horse fields in every race. And then at Sha Tin the week before, there were 10 races. Every stall was filled except two horses got scratched either going to the gate or in the gate. So they had 14 horse fields in literally every race that they ran. So we all say we want big fields. And under the way they run their races with handicaps and things like that, they get full fields.
No, no doubt. Well, speaking of full fields, down here and Dick, in terms of your analysis on Briz, you doing any special feature cards?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Thought I'd ask.
Getting old, Steve.
That's not true.
Gotta manage my time, you know. Get up and get up. Sorry. Why did I get up?
Well,
and that's my choice. That's not Briz's choice. That's all my decision. But I still, it's a crazy thing with me. I did this for so many years, and hopefully I'll do Presque Isle again this year. But when you're on deadline, you have a certain rhythm and flow, and
right?
All that. So you get into it. And then you're always convincing yourself, if I could handicap the day of the race and know the scratches and the track condition, boy, that would be great. Well, guess what? I got all this extra time, and I completely waste it. I do less work than ever if I go over, to Saratoga Harness and, just bet Aqueduct or Gulfstream and stuff like that. So I said I would do it, and now that I got the chance to do it, I can't sit here 4 hours at night. So I pay attention to some of the big races, and Saturday you got a big one. Now, first thing, do you know what the weather's going to be? Have you heard anything about the forecast for the weekend?
Wow, I hadn't even thought about it. I didn't see anything that looked foreboding. When I glanced, I did glance a little bit, 3 or 4 days ago. I'm struggling because dark sky has been absorbed into something else. Very unhappy.
I go to, like it says, do this, and I go to do this, and it's just,
no.
Yeah. But on my iPad, on the first page of apps, it does have weather there, and it's been upgraded, and it's very good. So there's a little box that has the temperature right now and the next few hours, what the weather's going to be, and then you click on it. That's very good. But I always use dark sky. I like all the Doppler radar and all that stuff. And so that was my go-to. And I just gave up. I couldn't do whatever wanted me to go to Apple and do something with Apple weather.
Exactly. The whole thing was a problem. Looks cloudy. Cloudy 75.
Good. Because with all the turf races and is the Le Proviant run Saturday? I know McKnight. Okay, funny story. Years ago, New York used to be limited to 15 out-of-state races to simulcast.
Right.
So Ben Lehman was working at the Race and Wagering Board. And we talk all the time. So we're talking one day, and he says, well, we're going over next year's schedule. Give me some ideas. I'm like, all right, me. So I come up with the genius idea that in December, due to 2 mile-and-a-half turf races at Calder, the McKnight and the La Proviant. Oh, great. Well, guess what? It rains off the turf, 4 horse fields for both races. Didn't really consider that possibility.
that'll happen. The Proviant goes as the sixth on Saturday. In fact, it may be the first. Is it the first stake? I think it is. Yeah, it is. It's the first stake, and with all the conversation we've had about Howie Tesher, personal best, the Tappet filly for Joe Allen, homebred of Joe Allen's. And I bet you there's in that female family, there's probably some Tesher trainees. It's a nicely balanced field. Adventuring shows up in here. Last seen in the Cardinal, and Graham Motion makes his presence felt as well. He's got Lachine. How about who else? That who else? Transient for Safi Joseph. Safi's like a rash on this card. He's got every time I look, he's got horses in the first, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth, 11th, 12th, and 13th. And certainly, when we talk about this Pegasus itself. Obviously, Joseph and White Abario, who feels like, I mean, every time I looked up, he was firing off, you know, some impressive, you know, basically for a month, you kept seeing sharp works for him for this spot. So, yeah, two bullets on the way. January 6th, 59 flat, and then 59 and 1. On January 13th, and then just an easy half, well, easy 47-4 the other day in his final serious work, White Abario, the race day, four-year-old, last seen
likes
in the German.
Likes the track, obviously.
Four for four here.
Four for four.
Yep. Yep.
And I really enjoyed Monday and Tuesday and all the reminiscing with Howie Teschen. If you're not a New Yorker or East Coast, Howie was not a household name, but he was fun. I knew him better in the late 80s, early 90s. He had excellent tipper for Earl Mack.
Right.
And he had champagne for Ashley for... he didn't run in Howard Cascell's colors, so he didn't run in the Sugar Maple colors. He ran, I think, in Leon Feinblum's colors. But he was a serious horse. And Mr. Derby had a sensational work for the Preakness, and then I think it was the morning of got hurt. And I remember my friend Mike Tobin, who was the farm manager at Sugar Maple, calls me that morning. I'm like, are you in Baltimore? He said, no. We got called us today. I said, oh, man. So he said, do you want to come down to the farm, down to Sugar Maple? I said, well, Mike, it's our anniversary today. It's May 19th. And he said, well, ask Karen. So I asked my wife, and she said, yeah. So we drove down, and she rode horses when she was there, had a nice barbecue and watched the race, but he was like not in the greatest mood having that happen right at the last second. But Champagne for Ashley had a serious, serious talent. And, you know, just Howie was fun and always could talk to him. And we would talk basketball. He used to play a lot. When he was young, he stopped playing. He was amazed that I still, at that point, was still playing full court basketball. And, you know, all the stories with the Dolphins and all that. It was just great. He's just a guy at the track that anybody could talk to, and he was friendly to everybody and represented racing extremely well.
Very much. I put up that picture of him. You mentioned as an athlete, that picture from the Miami News with him as a, I guess it was for football, but he played several sports and was a huge star. Miami Beach, I'm not sure if it was Miami Beach, which high school, but there's a wonderful picture. That's on the Monday listing. It's always notable. I can always tell when we do that kind of tribute, because the response and the comments on social media just they're exponential compared to just a run of the mill typical even a typical recap Monday. And I knew Saturday morning that we were going to dedicate Monday and part of the week, because now I'm down here. I mean, Billy Badgett's going to come in here shortly, and Billy certainly we'll talk about him. And it's hard not to. When you you've got the proximity to, you know, to the kind of people that rubbed elbows. I mean, I like I said on Monday, we could open the phone lines, and you'd have this literally. I mean, I got emails, I got texts, and other comments on everywhere. People that worked for him that walked HOTS. It's crazy. And it is, you know, you said you'd have to be an East Coast, you know, more East Coast centric, in terms of awareness. But he fit a certain profile, that, you know, who else was in that same vein was John Parisella, you know, trainer to the stars.
Yes.
which he may have coined, but you know, Parisella fit that mold, and Frankel did too until he moved to California.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
You know, this and I didn't bring it up on Monday, but and it's a little bit you know, it's a little bit of a thorny discussion. When the topic of, you know, trainers that lived in Manhattan, Buddy Jacobson, and mm-hmm. Certainly, well, Davey lives in Manhattan, but the comment that Chris Scherf that I mentioned, you know, in terms of being, you know, in terms of being a sophisticate, in what was perceived as a less than sophisticated, you know, class of trade, he was unique, and it you know, and a guy that Dick, that when you go back and read, you know, I mentioned newspapers.com. When you go to the SI, the Time Machine, well, the Times, New York Times has got the Times Machine, but SI now has got, you know, access to all of their archives. When you put in trainers' names and horse names and just let, you know, let the annals spill out in front of you, you really get an appreciation for the time period, for the horses, for, you know, the moment, and also the game's presence in the moments. And, you know, for those that appreciate the game's history, you don't have to seek out, you know, certain things. You can do it yourself. If a name comes up, if a horse name comes up that you're curious about, that's why we're going to do this horses that time forgot. I've talked about it long enough. Without making it a you know, a special weekly feature.
Yeah, I'm going soft here between Howie Tesher and Ray Karrison. Usually, I got nothing good to say about anybody.
that's not true. You're not a knocker, as they say.
Yes, I am. Neil Pesson wrote this great thing in the Blood Horse about Mervyn Mooney's race office, and it was enter, then knock. And that was, you want to talk about knocking people? That was just, that's how I kind of got my feet wet down there, because I would go to Mervyn's office and sit there, and one of the regulars was Al Stahl's father, Albert M. Stahl.
Big Al.
And he wasn't. He was more gentlemanly and everything else, but he liked all the banter and everything. But, oh, man, it was all the jeer about this, and it was just tremendous. But, yes, I am a knocker and proud of it.
Oh, that's funny. Not something necessarily you would think that people would readily acknowledge. That's funny. I love it. Well, you know, have you looked at this feature for Saturday?
I downloaded it, printed it out. It's very intriguing, especially with the configuration.
Yeah.
That makes it very, very tough on the outside drawer. And not only makes it tough, but it really makes it tough on the writers that have to make a split-second decision. If you break a half step slow, you're in trouble, and then you got to rush or take back and take back. Where do you drop in? So Cyberknife drawing a 10, man, that's brutal for him. Now, he showed brilliant speed in the Haskell. I'm sorry, in the Travers. He was right up there. But that was just kind of mine on a quarter speed in a smaller field. This is a big field that's going to be pace pressure from all different directions. So the first thing I did was toss Cyberknife.
Hmm.
I just don't see him winning from there, as good as he is. He's a grade one stakes winner. I don't see him winning from out there. And then I kind of like, you know, the Art Collector's always dangerous. He has speed. Sias gets off to ride, get her number for Peter Miller, which intrigues me, especially when his record going any kind of distance on dirt is two turns doesn't seem to be his forte. Now he's 5 years old. Horses do mature and relax. His cigar mile was terrific. Beat White of Barrio that day. And with Louis getting on, I don't know. I think get her a number from post eight, but once again, we're getting a little bit farther out than I would like. Proxy with Joel down on the rail, but does he get shuffled back? You know, can he sit mid-pack and win? Because Joel likes to just put them to sleep and then make the one run, 12-horse field. Yes, save ground first turn, lose ground second turn. Maybe that'll work. So riding with Biden's Red Hot comes in 3 out of 4, moving up in class. But I like horses that are in form, and he certainly is in form. Put a gun to my head. There'll be a horse with a blue shadow breaking from the 5-hole with Arad Ortiz Jr.
Hmm.
Looks awfully tough.
Hmm. That's interesting. Isn't there too much speed to
yes.
But I, you know, it's funny. I suppose looking at prior, not just prior, you know, this race, but really any the mile and an eighth features. There's been plenty of occasions, and in fact, Adam earlier referenced his first year down here taking pictures, and he referenced Big Brown, who was wide, right? He was wide in that Florida Derby, and then he was wider still in the Kentucky Derby.
Post 20
in the Derby, and I think here he might have been in the 10 or 11 or even the 12. And
I think you're right.
Right?
I think you're right.
I was here rooting for Smooth Air with Mountjoy, Benny Stutz and company. And, and Big Brown just overwhelmed. But... You know, I forget who it was that was referencing Proxy's presence in here. Who was that? The late last week might have been Scully. Excuse me. Rosario gets the save every step in here, and with the pace, anxious for to get the morning line, which I had. Maybe today, maybe later today. I'll find out when we see Dave Joseph, Marty McGee he'll be in about half an hour too. It is a race day here. Simplification, you know, it's funny looking from a handicapping, from a number standpoint, looking at this, Dick, just on the buyer scale alone, Simplification's effort in the Harlan's Holiday, a career best. His first triple-digit buyer, and we talked earlier about liking this racetrack. White of Barrio 4-for-4. Simplification, never out of the money. 3 wins, a second, and 3/3 over this racetrack.
Yeah. Well, what I like, just that at a short glance with Defunded is how many times has Baffert been in a race with a lot of speed?
Yep.
So what does he do?
Yep.
If he's there Saturday, I don't know if he will be. He just tells the jock, yeah, there's a lot of speed in the race. Let's go to the front. I mean, he went to the front with Bodemeister in the Derby. And who is he out sprinting? Trineberg.
Yep.
So, I mean, I expect him to be on the lead. His race two back in the Awesome again. Smallish field. Beats Country Grammar. Very, very good. Then blows him away in the Native Diver. Kind of like under control type race. And obviously pointing for this race. Everyone knows it's on the calendar. So everything since then has been good work, good work, good work. I wish, this has nothing to do with anything, but I like to use Andy Harrington's mm-hmm. Turf Clocker Report.
National Turf.
But I wish there was a way to get the California horses that ship in major races and what their reports are.
Well, you know who, Jeff Siegel, very frequently will opine as part of his regular handicapping and he'll certainly, you'll have the coast to coast pick five, which will probably, I guess with Santa Anita drawing today, we'll get the coast to coast pick five for Saturday, which will certainly include, I imagine, three races from Gulfstream and two from Santa Anita, given what's available on this card. But Siegel will make references, and of course he was part of that milieu for a long time.
But with the California horse in another jurisdiction, I mean that's
well, yeah, no, I understand. And
my question.
No, I get it. And you know, Mike Welch has also, the DRF team has, there's certain, like Tampa Bay Derby Day, for instance. They'll have, at the bottom of the Gulfstream report, they'll have typically, Michael, include any horses that have been preparing in South Florida, anywhere except for Payson Park. He'll include their notes. So they, yeah. But I know exactly, believe me, I know, I completely concur.
Well, and just on paper, these workouts look pretty special, but I always like to read his commentary.
Absolutely.
I like reading the words, not necessarily.
No, agreed.
The rankings and things like that. He did a thing that I really appreciated. When Zenyatta's career was over, he wrote something about just what a fantastic experience that was for him to watch her. And even though she might be going a 48 half, like, nobody won a 48 half like her. And just the things she showed in the morning made the afternoon make sense. And it was really nice to hear from someone like him. And then the other one was, there was a guy in a Racing Post. And when Black Caviar went to Ascot, her training was out of this world, even though she had some problems. And one of the people that's out there in the morning, and they don't have clockers per se, but they have observers and people that know what they're doing. And he just wrote them the most flattering thing about her. Just, I've never seen anything like her all my years on the heat, and just stuff like that. So I enjoy when people, I like the objective data, but I also like the subjective. I like the interpretation and things like that. So I, gun to my head, I'll go with the five Defunded.
Fair enough. And I'm just looking at time form to get a pace picture, and they've got Defunded winging on the front, and they're calling the pace red, a hot pace, riding with Biden, and a little bit on the outside too. The Stiletto Boy. They've got Stiletto Boy attending the pace. And then right in behind, Art Collector. So four horses in the Tom Durkin registered trademark Vanguard. And behind that, Simplification, White Abario, and Get Her Number. Peter Miller for Gary Barber, coming out of the very good try behind My Control. And, you know, Get Her Number, this is going to be he has not contested a mile and an eighth since the Arkansas Derby, actually. Going back to 21. And this is the kind of racetrack where a horse like Get Her Number does stretch out. And, you know, as it happens, he is a horse that is kind of a stalk and go, you know, in the race flow type. This is a, certainly don't blame Gary Barber for trying this in this spot and stretching out from the Cigar Mile. And look at, boy, look at the works, Dick. That's very interesting. Peter Miller giving him, clearly stretching him out. New Year's Eve, 6 furlongs. Then January 8th, 7 furlongs. And then a published 1 mile work on January 14th. Forget Her Number.
Yeah, that's... I looked because Louis getting on, and Louis riding him last time out. He's a dialed in, he's made for dirt and all that. And then it's just there's a lot of in and out races going one turn. So to go two turns against this company, asking a lot. But yeah, and he's the other dialed in. So I like the defunded. And this one's the other dialed in. And speaking of Big Brown, you get to see his silks on number 12.
That's right. That's right.
He will have the IEAH silks on. So that'll be fun.
Well, what'll be fun is what Michael Ivarone ends up wearing, because that Mike and Jules, this is a day that they seem to really relish in terms of outfit selection. We were talking about what Tom and Colleen Amos are going to come up with for Mardi Gras. Michael and Jules will be highly anticipated here Saturday. Right?
Well, I'm sure you'll see them hours later at the big music concert, whatever they have there, into the night.
We should, you bring up the two dialed ins. For those that remember what went on here, he won the Holy Bull and the Florida Derby here, dialed in. For those that forgot.
Yep. Yeah. Trained by?
Nicholas P. Zito.
Nick was on Oaklawn.
Yes, on Sunday. On Sunday.
The pregame?
Yeah, Sunday.
How can people in racing not watch that and say, get his phone number? How do we not have him on broadcast regularly?
It's a good question, because Nick, first of all, he's entertaining, obviously, as hell, but, I mean, the entertainment part, but also, the insights. I agree. I absolutely.
And I just happen to see it, because I'm watching Gulfstream Aqueduct, and I'm kind of going back and forth on the TV and at the simulcast, and I just happen to go farther down the dial as Nick, and it just started, so I caught basically the whole thing, but that was a lot of fun. He was his usual self on that, and in that format, he's just out of this world. As he likes to say, hit it out of the park.
Right or wrong?
Am I right?
Lucky and blessed that we're going to get them all in here. Well, Dick, thank you. This was great, and so defunded for you, and I'll be anxious to see what do you figure? It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if people are going to stand against Cyberknife because of the 10-hole, then that'll be a potentially a bit of a takeout neutralizer, right? Because he's going favored. Well, Marty McGee, when's the morning line coming out?
It's out.
It's, where is
it's
it?
It's out.
You
got to
look hard.
I got to look hard for the morning line.
5-2
Will you come over here and say hello for 2 seconds? God, you're impossible. you can't say the public. They hear the name Marty McGee,
yeah,
and
right.
They you turn it around. Turn that around.
All right, we got.
Hold on. I gotta put the microphone.
Okay,
on.
Cyberknife at 5-2
5-2
9-2 on proxy.
Hold on, let me write these down. 5-2 9-2 on proxy.
I got these memorized, by the way.
You're unbelievable.
5-1 9-2 on proxy. 5-1 on Skippy Longstocking.
Interesting.
6-1 on Defunded.
Wow.
10-1 on Art Collector. And somebody else is 10-1, but I forget.
White Abario?
Maybe. Yeah, something like that.
Well, there's some value to be had.
Well, I mean, that's not the post time odds.
Well, who are you picking?
Gosh. I don't know.
You got to be in today. You got to put your picks in today.
I don't even make picks for the.
You're not Hermes,
no.
For.
No.
Who's the third?
I think maybe Kenny.
Kenny Peck. Kenny's always in the middle.
Yeah.
With the 20.
You're already asking me hard questions, Big. I showed up here voluntarily. I didn't even. I gotta go. Seriously, I gotta go.
So great, the one and only. Oh my God, he's the greatest.
All right, 6-1 on Defunded. Sold.
Well, yeah, and White Abario, if he's not 1, 2, 3, that's 5 horses. So he's no worse than 10-1, and maybe 12-1 even. And so that means Getter Number is up in the 15 to the 20-1 range.
Yeah.
And what about Simplification? Simplification is going to have to be in that range, right?
Yes.
Now there's value to be had. Well, I'm anxious to see some Thoragraph figures on this to add another layer. This is fun. This is a fun. It's almost better. You know, we had those years with this race where it was more or less a coda. You know, the Arrogate California Chrome stuff and you know that kind of thing. This is in a lot of ways even more fun. I mean, it's just a very solid cast of handicap horses. It's a going away. Yeah. Going away send off for Cyberknife, and certainly won't be disappointed. Shadal the Gold, who we say it often, deserves as much success. And Al is on a scary roll right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So all right.
Plus he's a huge Met fan, and he got to be happy with the way Plus, our owner, who I'm not a fan of, made $2 billion in the hedge fund. So my worry was, okay, we get bought by a billionaire owner, the stock market crashes, and he's no longer a billionaire owner. Well, he's still a billionaire owner.
Dick? Thank you,
Steve,
for the insights.
I enjoyed it.
So did I.
Enjoyed down there. Hopefully today's storm won't be too bad, and Tino can handle things at home.
She's Nanook of the North. She is a trooper. She will be swearing at me. She'll send pictures, and she won't be thrilled. Dick, thanks a lot. Dick Powell, everybody. You got it. Of course, HKJC back Saturday, and nice card, and happy Lunar New Year out there. We'll talk to Rich Ang tomorrow as well. I forgot last Thursday to provide a greeting to Rich. So we'll start to look at more of this. We're going to talk to Sid next. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Helen Dale. Haven't touched on the, you know, there was the one story that got a little bit of, the, you know, there was a little bit of concern about the quarantine down here, right? You got one of the barns with a herpes positive, but apparently it's contained, and so some of those concerns have been clamped down. And in fact, when Billy Badgett swings through, we'll maybe get an update. But it seems like they acted quickly, and things are contained. All right, so. Not a lot to more to detail other than what Billy can maybe tell us. For those that haven't looked at the card yet, working backwards from the Pegasus, the turf, and 12 in there. Speaking of drawing wide, City Man. You know, we talked to Christophe Clement after the Fort Lauderdale. Clement draws the extreme outside. So he's going to.